Well, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. Pastor Tim Karskatten here, Christian Center Shreveport, doing our daily podcast. We're building on the prophetic word that we gave about the tearing and shaking. We're bringing prophetic application on how we have to respond today so that we will not suffer tomorrow. All right, let's learn from this prophetic application.
Over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Your name. Welcome. Thank you for joining us today. As usual, you guys are such a blessing. I say guys, both guys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, we love each and every one of you. Well, it's the 17th day of May, 2023. We are in some interesting times. We're in the middle of our Isaiah 62 fast. You can go to that website, Isaiah62fast.com, and you can check and see what the rest of the people in the world are doing. Over 5 million that we know of are praying for Israel at this time. It is actually touching Jewish people's hearts. Many of them are finding out about it and are astonished that historical Gentile people that have persecuted them throughout their generations are praying for them now. It is touching them, it's moving them, and our prayer is that it provokes them to jealousy according to what Romans 11 talks about, and that we should be doing that. We don't do it for that purpose, but as we obey the Lord, it does provoke them. That's our desire, that there be a revival, an awakening in the land of Israel, that they would turn their faces toward him as he turns his toward them. And they fall back in love. And let's reconcile that marriage that got divorced. And they're back together. Let's believe for that. I have a heart that God would do that. Well, we started with our prophetic word on Monday, the tearing and shaking. God told us what's coming. God's going to tear things out of your life. He's going to tear things away from you that are holding you back. He's not going to tear something that's building you up, encouraging you, blessing you. He's going to pull the things out that are deteriorating you, corrupting you, things that you have ties to that you don't need to have ties to. It could be relationships. It could be many different things. But don't put a tag on it. Just say, God, I don't want anything that's not of you. Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, search my heart. That's what David prayed, right? That's what we need, because when the shaking comes, those things will be inside of us. So let me give an example. I grew up with this and just a fear of man and just a fear of rejection. I had a spirit of rejection. I was overwhelming. It ate my lunch for many years when I was younger. And God really has taken me through a process. I'm not saying I'm finished with it. I think it's a lifelong thing, because I had it since I was a child. And I always wanted to please everybody and make everybody happy. Well, that's debilitating, because that determines things that I don't stand up for, because I'm afraid of the repercussions I'll have with those people that I want them to like me and accept me. That needs to be torn away. So if there's certain people or certain situations in my life that cripple me in those moments, it's better that they be pulled away from me, so that when the crisis comes, I'm not tied to that soul tie, we call it. Our soul, our mind, will, and our emotions are tied to that. And so yesterday we were starting to give this prophetic application to this word. A word is just a word from the Lord. It is, but you have to apply it. Joseph was interpreting Pharaoh's dream, right? 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Well, okay, great word. Good to know. Thanks. Appreciate that. Well, what's the application? The application is we better prepare. We got some lean years. And if we don't prepare, we're going to starve to death. So we move forward. I gave a word in 2019 that there'd be an economic downturn at the end of 2021. It started. It's still going, unfortunately. And I had so many testimony of people thanking me. I had one man tell me, thank you. You don't know what a blessing it is. We got out of debt from 19 to 21. They paid their house off, got out of debt and things like that. And God just blessed them. So if anything happened negative to them, they were okay. God, they owned everything that they had possession of. And that's preparing for the coming shaking. You understand? There was a shaking coming, 2021. 2019, it was a time of peace and prosperity. They prepared for it in that time. So when the shaking came, it did not affect them. That's what I'm talking about. And we're using the passage in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. If you have run with the footmen and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with the horses? If you fall down in the land of peace, how will you do in the thicket of the Jordan as you head toward your promise, your destiny? And this is the story of Jeremiah. He was in a time of peace. Even though it was distressful, it was difficult. Society was heathens, backslidden, not serving God. Laws, government overreach. We know that one, don't we? And yet, he was preparing, God was preparing him for a worse day. When he got really in the thicket of things. And we use Philadelphia, the church in Revelation 3, as a type of what to do, because they knew how to persevere and they confronted the issues of their day and God honored them for it. There's your first sign. If you're enduring and confronting the things in front of you today, you're preparing for the coming shaking. Look, faith is not some weak, pitiful emotion. It's strong. It's vigorous. It's confidence built on the fact that God loves us, He cares for us, and that we are His kids. We are His chosen ones. That's what faith is about. So going through trials does not mean that God has forsaken you. Quite the opposite. Trials test or strengthen our faith. It lets us know that. That's what 1 Peter 1 says, right? 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the geniuses of your faith, I like that, genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. How are you doing in the present test? If you are failing in your tests today, you will fail at them when they come in the shaking. That's why we build ourselves up in our most holy faith now. That's why we fast and pray. Remove the wicked chains, the bondages in our life, so that we don't have them holding us down, waiting us down for the coming trials. You know what I'm talking about? This is a passage out of Job 13:15. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. Look, you're going to get in trouble if you don't trust the Lord. Look what Abraham did. He trusted the Lord, couldn't have a kid. Then, you know, his wife Sarah suggests he goes in with his handmaiden. Okay, that's a test. He failed the test, right? So then he has the baby, Ishmael, and then later she says, get rid of him. Now he has to suffer for him failing in the moment. We can learn from that, because I think many of us would have done the same thing. We are called to be childlike, not childish. We have to move past the childish mentality that is constantly falling in despair every time we go through something, crying out, why have we been forsaken? Why has he forsaken me? When will you rest in his love for you? When will you relax that you are a child of the Most High if you are in Christ? We say this all the time. We teach it. Don't ask why, ask what. What are you doing, Lord? What are you showing me? Not why have you forsaken me? Jesus felt that, so we don't have to feel forsaken. He took that on the cross. Why have you forsaken me? He said to the Lord. Because he felt the Lord turn his face from him. And there's no more feeling of dread than that. And Jesus endured it so we don't have to. His love for you cannot be measured. He cares more about you than your circumstances, than you do. In Psalms 139, we got this revelation a couple weeks ago when he says his thoughts are for all for us. The sand on the seashore cannot count how many thoughts he has for us. And the Lord just dropped this bomb on us, and he just said, and every one of those thoughts is a holy thought. God has holiness intended for us. And to walk in that, why is that important? Because Hebrews says that without holiness, you'll not see the face of God. And we need to see his face. Look, there's nothing worse. Jeremiah dealt with this, where God turned his face from Israel. When God turns his face from you, it's over. I remember in a meeting one time, I've been trying to deal with something, and I shared it, I think it was yesterday, but about somebody I wasn't dealing with in my congregation. And so finally, a prophet came in and told me I need to deal with it. And I felt the Holy Spirit leaving the building. I literally thought he's going to leave for good. And I screamed with all my lungs. And I said, no. And the Holy Spirit came back in. And I dealt with that issue. And not only did he not go away, the anointing went to another level. Okay? These are tests. These are very important tests. And we don't want to have that feeling that he walks out, Ichabod, be written on any part of our life. And we must understand we're that child. It cannot be measured. His love cannot be measured by your circumstances. He cares more about you than your circumstances do. You care about your circumstances. He cares about you. He wants to help in the circumstances, but you are the main thing. Look, you cannot know his love for you if you do not understand him. And this only comes through prayer, through the study of the word, spending time in his presence. Revelation 3:8 says, you have kept my word. During the 40 years of ministry, Jeremiah would suffer intense persecution. He was thrown in the dungeon. He was beaten. He was put in stocks. He was threatened. Tradition teaches that he was stoned to death. And despite the opposition he faced, however, he remained true to the messages God gave him. He confronted the Jews with their rebellion, and he called them to confess their sins, and accept responsibility, and to ask God for forgiveness. And as God directed him, he also spoke the words of comfort to the people facing disaster. This is part of the call of preparing for the shaking. Do it now. Warn, shout, do whatever it takes. The people who are not turning, that's the 10 virgins, right? There's another third group there that says, shout, he's coming, wake up. Paul suffered great persecution. You know that. In 2 Corinthians 11, it says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. And he goes on, he said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labor, more abundant in the stripes, abundant in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. And the night and the day I've been on the deep. The journeys often in perils of water, perils of robbers, in perils of our own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in the perils of the city, in the perils in the wilderness, in the perils in the sea, in the perils of the false brethren, in the weariness and toil, in the sleepless often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides these other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. Yet he knew that he had not been forsaken. He knew Jesus loved him and he would see him through these crises, right? 2 Corinthians 4:9, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. God has not left us alone. Just because you're suffering and you're supposed to endure hardship, perseverance requires faith in God's ability to deliver. Perseverance is more than endurance. More than simply holding on till the end. I think sometimes I'm just going to hang in there. No. Look, if you're in a bad marriage, God's not going to honor you for just hanging in there. He's going to judge you. Did you learn to love? Okay. Whatever you're going through, if your crisis at work, whatever it is, did you learn to love? and endurance combined with absolute assurance that certainly God will do what he said he's going to do. Do you trust that the end of your trial will result in victory? Revelation 3:12. Do you trust that because Christ overcame the cross, he can overcome all things? Do you trust? Ask yourself that today. Trust today, you'll be ready for the shakings that are coming ahead. This is a prophetic application of how we're going to walk through this season. Oh, I hope this is helping. Lord, bless everybody today. Strengthen them with your strength to endure in this hour so they prepare for the days ahead. We apply this word today in the name of Yeshua. Amen and amen. All right, come back tomorrow. We're going to keep building. Well, thanks for listening. We are still in our Isaiah 62 fast. Go to our website, ChristianCentersReport.com, slide down to the icon, and click there and follow us. We're doing that every day at noon Central Time, Monday through Saturday, and then Sundays at 7 p.m. Central Time as we pray for Israel. Thank you, each and one of you that have been sowing into our ministry and blessing us. You can do that on our app as well. You can see our products, and you can also see everything we do on our platforms. Well, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.